We need a pianist. Are there any volunteers? All right. Rescue the perishing. Ikaw na lang. Ikaw na lang ang magtugtog. Wala tayong pambayad sa mga mamahaling mga pianista. Let's sing. Are you ready to sing? Are you ready? Ready to sing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Come on. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Let's sing it another time. Same verse because it's so weak. Amen? Medyo lakasan natin. Kumain na ba kayo? Have you eaten? Okay. Let's sing. What? Mas malakas. Mas malakas. Ready? Sing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus. On the last verse. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Amen. Our speaker for his final session is the associate pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church for many, many years. He started as associate in 1991, and he will be speaking on soul winning, and we know that that is very evident in his life and in the life of that church. Pastor, first, please come.
God bless you. It's a great joy to be with you today, and I hope you had a wonderful lunch and a siesta, a nap, whatever you call it. But I'm glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to John chapter number 4, the Gospel of John chapter number 4. We do. Where are the ushers at? How many did not receive a handout? Whoa. Brother Lofgren, can you help with that? Right. Correct. If you need 1,000 pesos, see this gentleman right up here in the front, and he'll give it to you. All right. Raise your hand if you did not get the handout. Raise your hand. Ushers up in front, right up here. If you get a foot fire. All right. How many had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful afternoon? Did you have a good time? How many enjoyed the messages this morning? The blessing?
Yes, sir.
Did you make a bunch of decisions these last few days?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. It's been a great joy being with you folks, and we certainly have been blessed beyond measure. And we thank the Lord for the joy of being able to be here and to serve and rub shoulders with you. And it's our desire that we'll continue to go forward for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, how are we doing, ushers? Who else did not receive the handout yet? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if you have not received the handout. Okay, gentlemen, you're doing a good job. We're up over here on the front. We're over here, sir. Over on this side. Right there. Someone coming? Okay, I think they got them. Who else? Anybody else did not receive one? Okay, if you didn't get one by now, you're not one of the chosen then. All right? All right. Okay. All right. I think we got everybody right now. Why don't we have a word of prayer, and then we'll start our lecture this afternoon. Father, we do want to thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for salvation. And what a joy it is to know you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, we're so thankful for what you're doing in our hearts these last few days. And Father, I think of our session here and then the final two messages tonight. Father, I pray that you would once again meet with us in power. And I pray, Father, that you would bless the preaching, the recognition, the songs, the music, and everything that takes place. Lord, may we finish on an upbeat, and may we be excited about the things of God. We'll be excited about what you've done in our hearts and our lives, and may we look forward to go back to our homes, our churches, and our communities to spread the wonderful, life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask this now in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Matthew chapter 28, and if you could put a finger there and go to John chapter 4. We've got just two different portions of Scripture, John chapter 4 and Matthew chapter number 28. John 4 and Matthew 28. We'll look at Matthew 28 first. And of course, this portion of Scripture is very familiar probably to each and every one of us, and it's been labeled as the Great Commission. We find the marching orders of the local church in Matthew chapter 28, where the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, as you take a moment just to consider and to ponder when Jesus gave these instructions to his disciples, it was after his crucifixion, it was after his resurrection, and it was before his ascension. Now, you think about that time frame. Jesus only had a few more moments with his disciples. And in those moments, those last few moments, he wanted to impart to them his heart, his passion, his desire to them. It was like if I was on my deathbed and I had my family around me, what would I share with my family? I don't think I'd mention to my boys, make sure you pick the weeds. Make sure you take out the garbage. Make sure, you know, you have clean socks on. I wouldn't say anything like that. I would talk to my family about values that really mean the most to me, about loving God and serving God and loving family and keeping your home strong. I would talk about those subjects because those would be the nearest to my heart. And here Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he's sharing with his disciples what's nearest to his heart. And he tells them, "I want you to go into all the world and spread the good news of Jesus Christ." You know, we think about the gospel, and the gospel is what? The good news. How many of you like good news? Do you like good news? You have people come up to you and say, "Well, I got some good news, and I got some bad news." You ever do that to somebody? I always say this, give me the good news first, because the rapture may take place, and I'll never hear the bad news. Amen? But I love good news. I love good news, and that's what the gospel is. The good news of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we get to share the good news of Christ to our community. Then the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is a saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." As we look at this story, even in John chapter 4, once again we get a glimpse of our Savior's heart. We see a glimpse of his passion, his desire of wanting to live his life in accordance to God's will upon his own life. And he said in verse number 34, he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." You know, as you think about that, God has a will for each and every one of us. And I pray that that's your heart's passion, your desire, the priority of your life is, say, Lord, I want to fulfill what you've called me to do. Now, in a general sense, okay, God has the same will for all of our lives in this one area. And that one area is sharing the gospel of Christ. Now, God may want me to do that in Lancaster, California, and God may want some of you maybe to go to Thailand, or maybe to do it here in the Philippines, or maybe in Vietnam, or in Laos. It doesn't matter where God wants us to go specifically. Generally speaking, God wants all of us to share his gospel. And so what we're going to look at this afternoon is some principles I pray that will be a help to us in the area of responding to our responsibility. God has given us responsibility. He has entrusted with us the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? He's entrusted that with us. Now the idea, the thought is, okay, what are we going to do with it? He's given us this gospel message, the message that it needs to be known throughout our world, and people need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that responsibility. Now, sometimes Christians shrug their responsibility. They lay it aside. They forget about it. But I want to just remind you tonight that God has called each and every one of us to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with every single person that we possibly can. So let's look at some thoughts here that I pray they'll be a help and encouragement to you. First of all, as we think about responding to our responsibility, I want you to write this word down. The word is cultivating. Cultivating. If we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to be cultivating relationships with lost people. It's like this. It's like a farmer that goes out to begin to plant the seed. And of course, we know why he's planting the seed, because he wants to reap a harvest. But before he plants the seed, he has to cultivate the ground. Now, in Lancaster, we live in a desert. We don't get much rain. I think Pastor said this morning or last night that all of last year we got like 1 inch of rain for the whole year. That's it. I mean, our ground is about as hard as this platform. And for us, if we're going to plant anything, we got to cultivate the ground. In other words, we have to get a shovel out. We got to, you know, get that shovel into the ground, and we got to turn the dirt over and got to dig a little bit more and turn the dirt over. And dig a little bit more and turn the dirt over. And we got to constantly do that. We have to break up the ground. In other words, if we just took the seed and just threw it on the ground, guess what? It's not going to grow. It's not going to have a root system that would provide the fruit or the, you know, the harvest that you want as a farmer. And so it's important that we realize if we're going to have a harvest of souls, we must be willing to cultivate. A lot of different ways that we could do that. One way is by having a billboard up. Another way, we could have radio announcements. You could have cars drive around your community with the speakers on top of the cars and talk about the upcoming friend day or special day at your church, or have gospel tracts and pass those out. There's a lot of different ways you can get the word out. You could do that through texting people or on your Facebook, on your website. There's a lot of different ways. But the whole idea is this, is we got to cultivate the ground, the soil, so that when the soul winners come by and knock on doors, they're almost kind of ready to receive the gospel message or the invitation to come and visit your church or our church. And so as we think about just that principle of cultivating, let me share first of all is this. Building a friendship will take some time, but is essential for the purpose of effective witnessing. Building a friendship. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, when you go out witnessing, it's a good practice for you. When you knock on the door, you say, "Hi, my name is Jerry. I'm from Lancaster Baptist Church. And we're in your community today. And we're inviting people to church. And we'd sure love to have you come visit. And here's a brochure from Lancaster, and we're over on 40th East and Avenue J, and we have service at 8:30 and 11 o'clock, and we'd love for you and your family to come." Now, before I leave, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd spend eternity in heaven? Okay, now listen. I did not take time to cultivate a relationship. All I did was say, hey, my name is Jerry. I'm from Lancaster Baptist Church. Why don't you come visit? And are you going to heaven? I didn't get their name. I don't know what they do in life. None of that. What we need to do is we need to take time to establish a relationship with that person. You say, well, why is that? I remember as a teenager going out soul winning, and I knocked on the door, and I talked to him. I said, hi, my name's Jerry, and I named the church I was from, and from Jordan Baptist Church, and I said, I'd love to invite you to come visit. I said, here's a brochure. And I said, now, before I leave, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? His response to me, now I was probably about maybe 16 years old, maybe 17, right in that neighborhood. And the guy was probably about 40 or 50 years old. And he looked at me and he said, young man, that's a personal question. And as a teenager, 16 years old, I didn't know what to do from there. I just kind of looked at him, said, yes, and have a good day. And I walked away. But as I walked away, I started to think, that is a personal question. That's like, Brother Lasada, if I walked up to you and just asked you, how's your marriage? Correct. It's a personal question. But let's just say I was his pastor, and I asked him that question. Guess what? Because we have a relationship, here it is, I have entrance into his life. Do you understand that? And I'm able to ask that personal question. So listen, I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. But I am saying this. Why don't we take 5 minutes and try to learn something about that person? All right, before we pop the question. All right, now here's the reason why. Second thought. All right, how can you kind of start that? The friendship is established by having casual conversation. All right, just talk about something that's casual. I'll give you a little acrostic for help. All right, H, you can talk about their house. E, you can talk about maybe their employment. L, you can talk about loved ones, their kids. P, for possessions. Okay, so you walk up to a door, you're kind of observing. Do you see anything? I remember I walked up to this one door, and as I was walking up to it, I saw this guy. He had a boat in the driveway. I mean, a big, 20-foot boat. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's a big boat. And then he had one of those monster trucks, where you almost have to get a ladder to climb into it. And then he had a couple motorcycles inside the garage. They had the garage door open. And right away, I had this thought, this guy is never going to come to church. My thought was, he has too many toys. And I know what he does on the weekends. He goes on the water, he goes camping, and he'll never come to church. And as I was walking up, I noticed somebody was in the garage. And the person had their back to me, and the person's hair was all the way down to here. So I thought it was a lady. I said, excuse me, ma'am. He turns around and looks at me, and he says, I'm not a ma'am, I'm a guy. I'm sorry. That's a real good way to cultivate a relationship. And one way not to do it. And so I said, I'm sorry. And he started laughing. He said, don't worry, I get it all the time. And so I started talking to him, and his name was Gil. And I said, hey, Gil, do you have a church you go to? He says, no, I don't have a church. And I said, well, I'd love for you to come visit. And I said, where are you located? And I told him where we located at. And then we started talking about his motorcycles. We talked about his boat, and we talked about his monster truck. And I stood in his garage probably about 20 minutes just talking about his toys. And then I said, Gil, you know what? I could tell you probably have a lot of fun in life just enjoying all these different toys that you have. But I said, Gil, let me ask you an important question, though. What is going to happen to you when you die? Do you know for sure that you'll spend eternity in heaven? And he said this to me, I don't know that, but my wife needs to know that. He says, why don't you come tell her right now? I said, okay. And so we went in his living room, we sat down, And Gil and Doreen, I began to witness to them, and they got saved. And the next week, they came and got baptized. And I remember when Gil got a haircut. Now, remember I said his hair was about this long? He came to church about 3-4 weeks later, and he had a haircut, but his hair was about down to here now. Okay? So he didn't cut off that much. And he came to me and said, "Hey, Brother Farsell, what do you think of my haircut?" They said, "I know it's not as short as yours yet." But he said, "I am going in the right direction."
All right.
And I tell you what, it just took time just to cultivate a relationship with him where maybe some of the barriers that he might have had, because here comes a church guy. We just talked about his motorcycle. We talked about the boat and the car. It removed the barriers, and God gave me an open door to share the truth of the gospel with Gil and Doreen. And I tell you what, just take time to cultivate that relationship. Number three, pray for discernment in determining a starting point. Yes. Pray for discernment in determining a starting point. My wife went out soul winning in East Palmdale, and she knocked on the door, and she met this Filipino family that just moved into our valley. And she talked, I think it was to the wife, and her name is Judy, she said something like, "Does your church have a priest that will come over and bless our house, since this is a brand new house? We just moved here, and we want the priest to come in and pray for our house." And my wife says, "Oh yeah, priest Furso will come over and bless your house." So my wife comes back to church and says, "You're not going to believe what I got you scheduled to do." And I said, "Well, what, honey?" She says, "You're going to be a priest for a day, and you're going to go to this house, and you're going to pray for this family and ask God's blessing upon this home." I said, "Are you serious?" And she says, "Yeah, it's a Filipino family. They're really nice, but they just moved here. They want somebody to come and bless their home." And I said, "Well, do I bring some holy water with me or what? Well, what do I do?" And I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. I'd never blessed someone's home before. I never did that. I had no idea. And so I go there, and man, the house was packed. And man, the music was, they were jiving in there. It was just rocking and rolling. And I walk in there, with my Bible, and here I am, I'm here to bless your home. And I didn't know what to do. So I just opened up the Psalms 127. And I read, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And I just kind of, preached a little bit to them about family relationship. And they're all kind of, they're standing around. And I'm not sure what kind of beer you have here. What kind do you have here? They got their Budweiser, and they're drinking, and they're listening to me, as I'm talking to them. And so I just said, "Hey, let's have a word of prayer." And I prayed and asked God's blessing upon the family. And then I went to Judy and Felix Design afterwards. It was their home. And I said, "Hey, listen, next Saturday, same time, I'd like to come by and visit you." They said, "We'd love for you to come by." So my wife and I came by the next Saturday. And there I was able to lead Felix and Judy Design to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here it is. Felix is one of our deacons at our church. Faithfully goes soul winning. His kids went through the LBS, our Christian school. Both of his girls are now in West Coast Baptist Bible College. And I just tell you, God just did a great work in there. It just takes some time just to cultivate, drink a few beers with them, and just have a big time with them. So, how do you want to go soul winning with me tonight? Amen. All right. Number four, the fourth little point there. The goal is trying to get the person to feel comfortable enough to talk to you. Listen, you need to realize when you knock on someone's door, they think you are weird. All right? Now just think about that. I don't know what you guys do here in Asia, but when someone knocks on my door at my house, my first thought is this: why are they bothering me? What are they selling? I don't want anything. And so I'm walking to the door, and before I open the door, I look through the peephole. And I say, "Okay, who is that out there?" All right? Now they go, "Oh, looks like church people. Oh, what are they selling?" Right away, I got all these barriers. And so I open up the door, "How can I help you?" Now think about that. When we knock on people's door, they're going to have those same thoughts. You know, they're not going to think, oh, the Baptists are here. Thank you for coming to my house. I heard about your church. I heard about you. You're going to witness to me now, aren't you? Yeah, they're not going to say that. But listen, as you talk to them, though, what happens is this. They begin to kind of let their guard down. And they begin to realize that, hey, you're just as normal as they are. You've got hurts and you've got disappointments and you have fears just like they do. And boy, it removes some of that barrier that's set up because, you know, you're the church person and they're not. It removes that and say, hey, we're just as normal as you. And that gives you an open door then to share the gospel with them. And so remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to cultivate. We're just trying to break up the foul ground. Yes, they're hard. They're indifferent to the gospel. Here it is. Love people. Amen. Love people. Listen, as you go through the mall, I got on the escalator and I just started talking to people. They probably think I'm a weirdo from California. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't care. I just want to talk to people. Hey, how you doing? Man, you having a good day? And I'm kind of looking, what's this big white guy talking to me for? You know, I don't know what they're thinking. But listen, the whole idea is so that I can share the gospel with them. So be willing to talk to people. Number five is this. Once you find a common interest, all right, try to find something that maybe you can connect with them. Use questions that enables you to start to build that relationship. Number six, from the platform called friendship, you then have the opportunity to share the gospel. So the first principle regarding our responsibility is cultivating. We're going to cultivate, and there's a lot of different ways we could do that, but this area, what we're talking about this afternoon, is basically just taking some time to establish a friendship relationship so that you would have entrance into their life to ask them the most important question in all of life, and that is where you're going to spend eternity. Then after cultivating, we're going to move to the second principle, is planting. Planting. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, we got to sow. But before we sow, we got to cultivate. So the planting of the seed. We must make a smooth transition from casual talk into the gospel. Just make a casual kind of a transition where you're not like a shock treatment. You don't want that. You want to just kind of like, just like casual talk. Hey, by the way, you know, and just kind of ask them a question. Hey, by the way, do you have a church you go to on a regular basis? Hey, by the way, have you ever heard of Lancaster Baptist Church before? Hey, by the way, have you ever visited? And so you kind of casually ask them, you know, a question where you're trying to steer that conversation towards some spiritual matters. All right, number two. You could begin by saying, I'm thankful that, you know, that you have an interest in spiritual matters. One of the most important truths to know in life is knowing for certain that you will die and you'll spend eternity in heaven. Now, I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and I know that the Roman Catholic Church does not preach or teach the truth. Okay? I know that. So if I come across a Roman Catholic, I don't say this to him. I don't say, well, I'm glad you go to church there. Okay? I don't say that. Because I'm not glad they go there. But I do say this. I try to compliment them. And I compliment them in this sense. I'm glad you have an interest in spiritual matters. Okay? Just another way, because we need to realize, okay, once you tell them you're from, First Baptist Church of Iloilo, all right, and they go to St. Mary's, right away, you're the Baptist, we're the Catholic. Right away, there's a wall up. Okay? One way to remove some of that barrier is just by giving them a nice compliment. I'm glad you have an interest in spiritual matters. And right away, whoa. And it kind of catches them off guard, and it gives you a little bit more time to talk to them about, you know, their eternity. Number three, after you ask the question, you know, hey, if you die today, are you 100% sure you spend eternity in heaven? If their response is, no, I don't think so, I don't know, can anybody... If they say that, I'll say, would you like to know? In other words, I'm kind of giving them a way out. Hey, would you like to know? And the reason why I do that, because it, to me, it confirms three thoughts, three truths to me. Number one, I think it's in your notes. First of all, that they're open and interested. Number two, I'm going to take my time and present a clear presentation of the gospel. And number three, it's a confirmation that the Holy Spirit of God's working. So I'll just ask them, would you like to know? They may say, no, no, thank you. I don't have the time right now. But listen, I've already taken some time, and I've talked to them, you know, about the motorcycle, about the boat. So guess what? We've established a relationship already, and we kind of like each other. So that gives me an open door to visit him again. And that's the key, right? Going back to people. And so number three is this, the big principle, okay? So we got cultivating, we got planting, three is watering. Watering. The first thought I want to share with you, number one there, is we must realize that not everyone will receive Christ the first time they are confronted with their need for Jesus. In Acts chapter number 18, the Bible talks about that. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. So it was week after week after week, he was reasoning with them, answering their questions, sharing truth with them. Not everyone's going to get saved the very first time. I remember witnessing this couple, Jack and Tina Wheels. And Tina's a Filipino, and Jack is from Hispanic background. And we were sitting in their living room upstairs. They had an upstairs family area, more or less. And when we walked into their house, they had white carpet. And I'd never seen, I seen light carpet where it was kind of light in color, but this was white. And so when we walked in, the first thing they asked us, please take your shoes off. Now that might be your custom here, I know it is in Korea, to take your shoes off. But in America, that's normally not our custom. So when they said that, the first thing I was thinking, okay, what kind of socks do I have on? You know, do I have holes in my sock? You know, that'd be embarrassing. And I couldn't remember if I had holes in my sock or not. And I remember taking my shoes off. I took my left shoe off. Whew, no hole. And I took my right shoe and whew, no hole. But then I looked at my partner. Man, he had two big holes in each of his socks. And I looked at him and I said, huh, you need new socks, dude. And so we're sitting in there and we're talking to this couple and I share the gospel and his wife, Tina, started weeping as I was sharing the gospel. Tears just flowing down her face. And Jack was, you could tell Jack was listening and was contemplating and trying to, you know, grasp the truth. And that got down to the end, you know, Romans 10:13, you know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I looked at Jack and I said, Jack, don't you want to make this decision, accept Christ as a Savior? Now I'm Jack now. This is what he did. He jumped up. And he started pointing his finger at, I knew you were going to ask me that. And I was like, okay, I did. And I said, well, Jack, are you ready? He said, no, I'm not ready. I don't want, no. And he got a little angry. And I got him kind of settled down a little bit. And I said, now, Jack, let me ask you, did I say something that confused you? See, what did I do right there? I put the blame on me. See, I'm trying to defuse him. He's a little bit angry. Maybe, probably, I tell you what it was a sin in his life. But I just asked him, I said, now, Jack, did I say something that confused you? He said, no, I understood it. And then I asked him again, I said, now, Jack, why wouldn't you accept this gift? And he kind of settled down a little bit. He just, I'm not ready yet. She's not ready. And that was like in the month of October. I made multiple visits to his house. And then on January 1st, it was the first Sunday of January of 1994. And Jack and his wife, Tina, were walking out of the service together that Sunday morning. And I greeted them, and I said, "Jack, is it time yet?" And Jack looked at me, and a big old tear swelled up in his eye. He said, "I'm ready now." And Tina started bawling, and so we went up to the office, and Tina and Jack Wheels accepted Christ as their Savior. And here it is. You got to realize, listen, don't give up on people. I witnessed and prayed for my dad to be saved for about 15, 17 years before my dad got saved. At first, my dad was very indifferent to the gospel. He was angry. He was argumentative. He didn't want anything to do with the gospel. But then through time, he softened up and got receptive to the gospel. On June 16th, 1991, on Father's Day, I was called to visit my dad. He was taken to the hospital. My dad had cancer. We didn't realize how severe he had it. And I was at the hospital with him. I asked my family to leave, and I said, "I just want some time alone with Dad." And I went over to the bedside, and I looked at my dad, and I said, "Dad, don't you think it's time for you to accept Christ as your Savior?" My dad sat up in his bed, and he said, "Son, it's time." And on Father's Day, June 16th, 1991, I was able to lead my dad to Christ. Now here it is. After he prayed and accepted Christ, I said, "Dad, I'm going to go downstairs and have a bite to eat, and I'm going to come back up." When I got back up to his room, my dad was sleeping. During his sleep, he slipped into a coma. And that night, my dad stepped into eternity. God was so merciful to my dad that he gave him one more opportunity to hear the gospel. Now listen, I witnessed to my dad multiple times. Sometimes it just takes, just keep on reaching out. Don't give up on people. Listen, hey, they didn't give up on you. Amen? So let's not give up on them. So we got the watering. We must follow the example of Christ. He practiced patience. John chapter 4. How about Nicodemus? He just practiced patience as he talked to people. Number 3, you'll want to avoid accusations and becoming judgmental. You don't want to get people angry when you're witnessing to them. Or make sure that we don't get in the flesh. We need to realize that every person's at a different journey in coming to Christ. And so we need to be patient. We need to allow God to work in their heart, allow God to work in their life, but always be ready to give the answer of the hope that's within us. Number 4, using questions will keep the soil of the heart tender. I found this out. A lot of people don't really think about what they're depending upon to get them to heaven. You just ask some questions. You know, "Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" "Yeah, I am." Well, how do you know that? What do you base that on? I go to church. They don't even know. So what we need to do is just take some time and love on them, and then take them to the Bible and show them the truth. Remember what John chapter 8 says? Listen, you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You got to realize, listen, they're blinded to the truth of the gospel. Satan has done that. Now, listen, the crazy thing is, not only they're blind, but they're lost. I mean, think about it. They're blind and lost. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been lost while I've been here in Manila. I get nervous. I don't even know where I'm at. All right? But listen, could you imagine being blind and lost? Now, spiritually, that's where they're at. And that's why we need to grab hold of their hand, and we need to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great example of that is Acts chapter number 8, when Philip ran to the eunuch. The eunuch there was searching and reading and desiring and hungering for the truth, but he didn't understand it. And Philip ran up to him and said, "Hey, understand what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I unless somebody should guide me?" Let me ask you a question. Who are you guiding right now to the cross of Christ? They're lost. They're blind. We got to guide them. We got to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, words are powerful. Words are powerful. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, in verse number 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whoa. Remember, have soft tones. Second of all, have sensitive thoughts. And remember to share spiritual truth. So as we're witnessing, make sure that you have soft tones. Let's not come across like, "Hey, we got the corner of truth." And let's not look down on people. Remember, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And we got to look at people eye to eye and, hey, we're equals. And the only difference between us and them is this: we've been saved by the grace of God. And that's it. Number four, big number four, harvesting. How many of you like to harvest? To reap that harvest, okay? Here it is. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. He says, "I've planted, Apollos watered." Hey, listen, that's what we could do. See, we can plant and we can water. We can plant and we can water, but it is God that brings forth the increase. It is God's the one that touches their heart and turns on the light, if you allow me to say it that way, to see and to understand the truth of the gospel and to bring the conviction that produces the conversion in their heart. It's not us, but God uses the Word of God. As we share the Word of God, the Holy Spirit then works in that person's heart and produces that repentance and that the faith to turn and to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Two thoughts under this part. Number one, as we share the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works and brings forth the spiritual birth. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing and the regeneration of the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Number two, you'll want to lead the person to make the decision for Christ. After you take time to go through the gospel and answer their questions and propose some questions, and you take your time. Remember, I believe that one of the most important things that we can do, and I think you'd agree with me, is to share the gospel. Let's not rush through it. Let's not do it like in 2 minutes. Let's take our time to go through the gospel so they understand and make a meaningful decision in their heart to call upon Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And number five, the last point, we got to wrap up. And write the word down, growing. Growing. So we have cultivating, we got planting, we got watering, then we got harvesting, now they're growing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, in the knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory forever and ever. So five factors regarding personal follow-up. Number one is this: make a connection. Make a connection. Personally, all right? Here it is. Personally, I need to be growing in my own personal walk. If I'm going to make a connection with people, I need to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing spiritually. So I need to make sure that my walk with the Lord's alive and vibrant and healthy and growing myself. Then relationally, I need to be involved in people's lives. This morning I asked the group that I was teaching this question: what lost person are you reaching out to right now? I mean, what lost person do you have a, you know, you're connecting with them, you're talking with them, and the whole purpose is so that you can share the gospel with them. And we need to make sure that we constantly have these relationships in our life so that we can share the gospel with them so we can see people saved. And it's so important that we have those relationships with them. Number two is this, is having a commitment. We're talking about follow-up now and helping this person to continue to grow. We need to have that connection, and then we have to have that commitment. I love what Galatians 4:19 says. Paul said this, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Paul's saying, listen, man, I'm travailing again for you. It's like I'm giving birth to you once again. And it's not, of course, it's not spiritual birth, but it's the birth of being conformed to the image of Christ, that transformation. And Paul says, man, I'm travailing. And more, I'm laboring that Christ would be formed in you. And then number three is this, is having being consistent. Just consistently reaching out to people and being faithful and encouraging and planting truth into their heart so that they might grow. And lastly, church. I'll tell you what, one of the best things you could do is get them connected to your local church. The church is God's institution. And boy, I tell you what, we need to lift up the church because the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And we need to encourage people to come. The Bible says, let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So our responsibility, all right, we all have it. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, we have a responsibility, and that is to share the good news. If we're going to do that, we got to cultivate. We got to water. All right, we got to cultivate. Why we got to sow that seed, so that we'd have the harvest, then we could have the growth.